Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. For an outreach program recently, we recorded a Father Knows Best live for the Pioneer Ladies Luncheon. Here's the episode, Betty's Getting Married.
Father Knows Best, premiered on the NBC network, August 25th, 1949. Sign-off was November 19th, 1953. Now, of course, we all recognize the TV series, which started on CBS October 3rd, 1954, and was carried on various networks until April 5th, 1963. General Mills was the sponsor of that show. This was always a 30-minute program. And the only cast member that made the crossover from radio to television was Robert Young, and that was because he owned the production rights, which was a rarity in those times. The Anderson family, Jim, Margaret, Betty, called Princess by her father, Bud, and Kathy, called Kitten, are well known to all of us from the TV series. Along with the Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet and Leave It to Beaver, these families were held as the standards for family composition in our culture during the 1950s and 60s. So we hope you'll now enjoy this visit from the radio edition of Father Knows Best.
Mother, is Maxwell House coffee really good to the last drop?
Well, your father says so, and Father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best. A half-hour visit with your new neighbors, the Anderson family, brought to you by Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. In an average town, Springfield, on an average street, Maple, lives an average American family, the Andersons. The husband, Jim, is very much in love with his wife, Margaret, and they're both quite fond of their three children, Betty, Bud, and Kathleen, which I should say is an average way for parents to feel. On this particular morning, which is an average sort of day, the Andersons are ready for an average sort of meal, breakfast. Well, they're supposed to be ready, but you know how it is. The average mother calls,
Jim, your breakfast is on the table.
And the average answer is,
Mother, I can't find my skates.
Kathleen, come in and start your breakfast.
Breakfast? Don't you understand, Mother? This is a crisis. How can I go to school without my skates?
Eat your breakfast, dear, and we'll look for the skates later.
But I have looked for them. I've looked just everywhere. They've simply vanished.
Vanished, Kathy.
Oh, well, they aren't there. They aren't anywhere. Ooh, what am I going to do?
You're going to eat your breakfast. I'll run out to the garage and see if you left them there. And don't use too much sugar on your cereal.
Look way in the back, Mother. Near the magazines. Oatmeal. That's all you ever get around here is oatmeal. Never mind, Mother. Daddy found them.
Who left those skates on the stairs?
Good morning, Daddy dear.
I want to speak to you, young lady.
What about, Daddy?
Skates. How many times have I asked you not to leave your skates on the stairs?
Is that where they were? Golly! I looked simply everywhere, and I couldn't find them.
Well, good morning, dear. Did you have... Jim, what did you do to your chin?
I came down the stairs on it. Does it look bad?
Well, let me see. Oh, dear. Jim, your poor chin.
Isn't it wonderful, Mother? Daddy fell down the stairs and found my skates.
I did not fall down the stairs.
Please, Jim, hold still. How can I fix your chin?
I will not have that child telling people I fell down the stairs. I tripped over her confounded skates. Is that the only place she can find to leave them?
Well, she's very sorry, dear. Aren't you, Kathy?
Oh, sure. Daddy?
Not now, Kathy. Have some coffee, Jim. It'll make you feel better.
Other people have children. They have skates. But other people have discipline in their homes. Old-fashioned discipline, the kind of discipline we had in my home when I was a boy. There was a place for everything, and everything in its place.
Mom! Hey, Mom!
I'm so sorry, dear. We'll try to do better. What is it, Bud?
I can't find my other shoe. Where'd you put it?
Look under the dresser.
Okay.
Is that where you generally put his other shoe?
Well, sometimes. How do you want your eggs this morning, dear?
Daddy, I was just wondering if...
Kathy, this is a very bad time to bother your father. We'd better let it go for a while. Shall I scramble them, Jim?
But it is important, Mother. It's the most important thing in my entire life.
What is?
It's really nothing, dear.
All right, Kathy, just stop looking like Ingrid Bergman and tell me what it is.
I need $2, Daddy. I'm desperate.
$2? What for?
Wings.
What did she say, Margaret?
She said wings.
That's what I thought. Why does she need wings?
I have to be an angel. I told them I would. I just have to... They cost $2.
It's the school play, dear. Kathleen said she'd be an angel.
Well, I can see they're certainly not casting to type. Kathy, you get an allowance, don't you?
If you can call it that. A quarter.
When I was 9 years old, I had to work for every penny I got. I couldn't walk up to my father and say, I want $2 for wings.
Were you an angel?
I most certainly was not.
Well, then you didn't need wings. But I promised I'd be an angel.
All right, then. Find a way to sprout wings without my $2.
But, Daddy, I'll just be ruined. Mother,
we won't discuss it any further, Kathy. Your father knows best.
How will I face them without wings? They were counting on me.
Morning, everybody. What happened to the squirt?
Oh, just a minor tragedy. Drink your orange juice, Bud.
Say, Dad, I was just thinking...
Bud, not now. Let your father read the paper.
But I was just going to tell him about...
Not now, dear.
But I have to! Gosh, how much time do I have left?
You don't mind if I get in on this, do you? How much time for what?
Well, Dad, we're going on a picnic tomorrow. A whole bunch of
us. Fine, have a good time.
He can go on picnics and I can't even have wings. You treat me like an orphan around here. Nobody even loves me.
Kathy, stop being dramatic. Everyone loves you.
Sure, but not $2 worth.
Kathleen, your brother is not asking for $2. Your brother is not asking for anything.
Except permission to use the car.
Except permission to use... What? Except what?
Well, that's what I was asking you. You see, we're all going out into the country, and I told
everybody... You are not going to use the car.
But, Dad, if I don't, how am I going to go?
You have a bicycle, haven't you? When I was 15, I was traveling all over the state on my bicycle.
With a girl? How can I take a girl on a bicycle?
Bud, you know your father does not approve of children driving automobiles.
Children? If I want the car, I'm too young. If I want to go to the circus, I'm too old. I wish somebody around here would decide how old I am.
We have decided, and you're too young. Now, that'll be all of that.
And I'll be an outcast. That's what I'll be. I'll be poison with every hunk of date bait in the school. Me and a bicycle.
Bud, you'd better eat your eggs before they get ice cold.
What a time to think about eggs. Dad, how would it be if
no.
I... But I was just going
no.
to...
No.
But you don't even...
No. Whatever it is, no.
Oh, fine. The way I'm treated around here, you'd think I was an orphan.
Copycat. I said it first.
Quiet, Squirt. You did not.
I did so.
You did not.
I did so.
Quiet, both of you. Be quiet. Margaret, why can't we ever have a peaceful breakfast in this house?
I'm sorry, dear.
I don't think it's asking an awful lot. When I was a boy, we had wonderful breakfasts. Quiet breakfasts. Peaceful breakfasts. We had respect for our elders.
Sure, but you didn't have a kid sister like the brat.
I'm not a brat.
You're a brat if I ever saw one.
I am not.
You are so.
I am not.
You are so.
Quiet!
Good morning, Mother. Good morning, Father.
What's the matter with her?
You're late, Betty.
I know. I was looking out the window at a bird. It was sitting on an egg.
Gosh, how'd you ever tear yourself away?
Dear Bud, such a lovable little moron.
Betty, dear, you sound so strange this morning. Is anything wrong?
Wrong? Oh, Mother, how can you even say that? In this lovely, wonderful world, how could anything be wrong?
Hey, Pop, better hide your wallet. This one's gonna be a pet.
Father, If you don't do something about
Betty,
that
Betty, if you don't mind, I believe I can manage my family without your assistance. Kathy?
Yes, Daddy?
Finally, I believe I am as well qualified as you to recognize the devious routes employed by your sister in leading up to the announcement that she needs a new dress.
That's Toner Pop. I mean, Daddy.
You're all very amusing, but I don't need a new dress.
Dear, are you sure you feel all right?
I feel fine.
Betty, you don't want any money?
No, Father. Why?
You don't want to borrow the car?
Of course not.
Well, at least there's one sensible child in this family. Betty, I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, sir, what this country needs is more children who leave their fathers alone at the breakfast table. I think I'll have another cup of coffee, Margaret.
All right, dear. There you are.
Thank you. Well, Betty, what's the good word in your little world?
Oh, just the most wonderful thing has happened, Father. I'm going to be married.
Jim, hold your arms up over your head, quickly. Bud, pound your father on the back.
What for? What happened?
Don't stand there. Do something. Do you want him to choke to death? Jim?
I'm all right, I think.
You're going to be fine, Dad, just fine.
Well, stop beating me on the back or I'll never be all right.
My mother told me to.
I did not tell you to break your father's spine.
You told me to pound him.
With your hand, not your books.
Oh.
Bud, you're going to be late for school.
I get it. Come on, Kathy.
Come on, where?
You're going to school.
I don't have to leave for 10 minutes.
That's what you think. See you later, everybody.
Stop pulling me, you brute. I have to get my skates. Mother!
All right, Betty. Now, what was that newsy little item you dropped into the middle of my coffee?
Oh, you mean about getting married? Isn't it wonderful?
Margaret, did you know anything about this?
Not a word, Jim. I still don't. Betty, you're joking, aren't you?
Joking? Mother, do you think I joke about the most wonderful, sacred thing in a woman's life?
Jim, she isn't joking.
Well, that's nice. Betty, you wouldn't mind giving us a little more information, would you? You know, just in case we want to get in touch with you later.
I don't know what you mean, Father.
Well, just for a start. Who is it?
Who's who?
The boy. My prospective son-in-law. What's his name?
Billy. He's wonderful.
Oh, Betty. Not Billy Smith.
Just wonderful.
Which one is he?
Oh, you know, Jim. The one who hates football players. The one Betty thinks is aesthetic.
Aesthetic? If it's the one I think it is, that's a new way of spelling anemic.
Father, Billy's delicate. You have to be delicate if you have a beautiful soul.
Oh, that's exactly what this family needs. Somebody with a beautiful soul. Margaret, I have to get down to the office. Explain to Betty that she'll be happier if she waits. Make certain, you know, the usual woman-to-woman talk.
All right, dear.
Oh, you don't have to worry about us, Father. Billy and I talked it all over last night, and we both decided against a hasty marriage. We intend to wait.
Oh, that's fine. I'll be home at the usual time, dear.
All right, Jim.
We're not going to be married until Saturday.
Okay, and if you need it... Saturday?
Saturday night. We were going to make it in the afternoon, but we decided to go to the baseball game instead.
Jim, this is an emergency. Put your hat down.
I'll put more than my hat down. Betty, this is the most ridiculous piece of conversation I've ever heard.
Father, you mean you don't approve?
Now there's the first intelligent remark you've made since you got up. I most decidedly don't approve.
I don't understand. You've always liked Billy's father.
You mean Hector Smith? Well, of course I like Hector Smith. He's one of my best clients. Why don't you marry him?
But he is married.
Betty, your father and I have always...
Just a moment, Margaret. I'll handle this. Betty... You're 17 years of age. You're in your first year at the university. You will not marry Billy Smith or anyone else until after your graduation, and that's final.
Graduation? That's 3.5 years. I'll be over 21. The best years of my life will be gone.
Darling, we can always have Bud push you up the altar in a wheelchair.
You're laughing at me, and I think you're horrid. You're just old-fashioned, both of you. You've forgotten what it's like to be young and in love. You don't seem to understand that things are different now.
Betty, nothing is any different. Things like that don't change.
They do, too. Things change all the time. People change. Customs change. Everything changes, only you won't admit it.
Darling, why don't you listen to your father? Things are no different now than they were when we were your age. The young people wear different clothes and sang different songs, but fundamentally they were the same. And even then, boys and girls didn't rush headlong into marriage, not until they were ready for it.
You bet they didn't. They listened to their fathers. They were willing to benefit from a lifetime of experience. Now, when I was courting your mother...
Mother, how old were you when you married Father?
Well, I...
Yes, Mother?
I was 17.
But that was different. It was different because things were different in those days. People were different. The times were different. Everything was different.
You said they weren't.
Well, they were. Some of them were. Some of them weren't, and some of them were. Only the ones that weren't were more than the... Margaret?
Betty, don't you think it would be a nice idea if Billy and his family were to come to dinner with us tonight?
Oh, Mother, would you? Really?
Margaret, I don't want the Smiths for dinner tonight or any other night. I think the idea of a dinner for the Smiths is not only ridiculous, but unnecessary. I forbid the marriage, and that's that.
Jim, you know that you like having people in for dinner. I'll call the Smiths and see if they can make it, about 7:30.
Margaret, I tell you, there's not going to be any... 7:30?
Well, that's the fashionable hour, dear.
We'll eat at 6:30, or there'll be no dinner.
Well, just as you say, dear. I suppose Father knows best.
Sure, we'll go along with that. Father knows best about lots of things. But when it comes to coffee, really good coffee, Mother doesn't take a back seat for anybody. Mother knows what a wonderful difference a really good cup of coffee like Maxwell House can make. Now, maybe you've wondered why there is such a difference in coffees, and why it is that only one coffee, Maxwell House coffee, gives you that heartwarming, good to the last drop flavor. Well, I'll tell you. Anybody who's ever been in a kitchen knows what a recipe is, and that's just what we've got, the one and only recipe for good to the last drop flavor. It's mighty closely guarded, this recipe, and we've perfected it through more than half a century's experience in blending fine coffees. Of course, there's a knack to it, too, and along with the recipe, our Maxwell House people have the know-how to blend the particular coffees it calls for just so, and roast them to the peak of flavor and goodness. Yes, sir, our Maxwell House coffee is unmatched for flavor the world over, and that's the reason more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee at any price. So naturally, tomorrow, I hope you'll be enjoying all that wonderful fragrance and flavor of Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. It's been a long day for the Andersons. The specter of a fair young child married and gone before her time has hung like a pall throughout the day. It would have, that is, if the Andersons hadn't been so busy. Jim, you see, had a hectic day at the office.
Six! Why, you robber, how about the two strokes in back of that tree? And don't tell me those snakes followed you over from the last hole.
At the office. Bud has been involved in the intricacies of a higher education.
But Margie, it's healthy riding on a bicycle. Look at all the fresh air you'll get and the beautiful muscles. We could even... Margie! Hello, Margie? Hello?
Kathy has been involved in serious plans for the future.
What do you mean they don't take girls in the Foreign Legion? I'll bet they do. Especially without wings. You just wait. You'll see.
Margaret, well, Margaret has been very busy cooking an extra special dinner for the Smiths. And if there's one thing Margaret can do, it's cook.
Yes, sir, Margaret. If there's one thing you can do... it's cook. That's what I always say.
You see, now we can proceed. Proceed.
Why, thank you, Hector. Would you care for another piece of pie?
Margaret, please. I've already had two helpings.
You had three!
Kathy, you know, a lot of people think that pie is fattening, but I was reading just the other day that...
Jim, it's not that we don't enjoy your informative little talks, but I was under the impression that this dinner had, shall I say, a more or less definite purpose?
Huh? Sure, right, absolutely. You know, I had a long talk with Heck before dinner.
Jim, dear, I hate to interrupt, but don't you think it would be a good idea if Bud took Kathy to the movies?
In the middle of the week, I certainly do not. I think... Oh, I see what you mean. Bud, how'd you like to take Kathy to the movies?
Oh, boy!
I wouldn't. I can't think of anything I'd rather do less.
That's fine. Now here's a dollar. Have a good time.
Aw, Dad, do I have to?
Yeah, you have to.
That'll be enough of that, Kathy.
Bud, I'm surprised. You ought to be glad to take your sister to the movies.
I'd rather go with a gorilla. You don't know what she's like. She never even looks at the picture. She sits around backwards and stares at the people.
Well, they're funnier. I like to look at their faces.
All right, Bud, get going. And come home right after the show.
If I'm still alive. Good night, everybody. Come on, Squirt.
Now, stop pulling me. Why do you always have to pull me?
Lovely children.
They mean well, I think.
Mother?
Yes, Betty?
Mother, Billy and I have been talking. Billy, you tell them.
Would it be all right if we went to the movies?
Oh, no!
I should say not. We're here for a purpose. A very definite purpose.
Yes, sir.
We have a problem to discuss, and we're going to do it right now.
Frankly, I think the whole thing is idiotic. Imagine discussing a ridiculous subject like marriage with these children.
We're not children, Mother. We're quite adult. We have adult minds, adult bodies, adult passions.
William!
Elizabeth, as I said before, Hector and I had a long talk just a little while ago. Right, Heck?
Right.
And we're in complete agreement on the subject, right?
Right.
We both feel that open discussion is the only sensible procedure in a matter of this sort, right?
Right.
Hector, stop being so agreeable.
Right. I mean, yes, dear.
Margaret, Elizabeth, Hector and I have agreed on what we consider a very sound solution to the entire problem. We have decided to permit Betty and Bill to be married immediately.
Daddy?
Jim?
No.
Holy cow!
Oh, Mother, isn't it wonderful?
I don't know.
Yes, sir, nothing like marriage and responsibility to set a man straight. Where did you kids figure on living? After you're married, I mean.
Oh, I see.
Well, we sort of figured...
Mother, couldn't Kathy move in with Bud? Then Billy and I...
Oh, that's ridiculous, Betty. You've got to have a home of your own, a place for your roots to take hold and grow. Right, Heck?
Right.
Well, gosh... That'll be kind of expensive, and on my allowance...
Oh, don't worry about your allowance, Billy. Married men don't go around taking allowances from their fathers.
They don't?
Oh, of course not. They're too proud to be supported by their fathers.
I'm not.
Oh, of course you are. You'll work, you'll sweat and slave, but you'll come home every week with a juicy pay envelope for your little wife.
Isn't that sweet?
But I don't know how to do anything.
That's not so. Poets make a living. And Mother, he writes the most beautiful poetry.
I'm sure he does, dear.
Billy, recite the one about my hair. It's just wonderful.
Oh, Betty.
Well, it is. Raven trestles on a lofty brow, swept by the winds of time. Isn't that beautiful?
Well, you could get a small house, poet size.
Say, Jim. I saw an apartment advertised the other day. Be just right for the kids. $125 for the month. Furnished.
Of course, that is without utilities. You know, gas, electricity, telephone.
And food. Don't forget food.
Oh, that's right. And laundry and cleaning.
They don't have to worry about that, Jim. Don't you remember when we were first married? I did all our laundry and cleaning and cooking. I'm sure Betty will want to do at least that for Billy. Won't you, dear?
I I guess so.
Of course, there won't be much money for new dresses or having your hair done.
Oh, Father, you can be so juvenile at times, really. You older people ought to get straightened out on the simple facts of life before you start fooling with the psychology.
Jim, your mouth is open.
See here, both of you kids.
Just a moment, Jim. Betty, exactly what do you and Billy intend to do?
Well, as long as our families are determined to exercise parental prerogatives, we'll just have to wait until we're financially self-sufficient. Right, Billy?
Right.
Well, I never.
Betty, about how long do you figure it's going to take you and Billy to become financially independent?
Oh, a few years.
Well, that gives us a little time to look around for a wedding present, eh, Heck?
That's right, Jim. A couple of years, and that's a long time. A lot of things can happen.
Oh, Hector, how about another cup of coffee?
Thank you, Margaret. I think I can use one.
You know, Margaret, I'm very relieved. I'm so afraid of hasty marriages.
Don't mind us, Mother. Just go on talking as if we weren't here.
I'm sorry, dear. It's just that I was so afraid you were going to make the same mistake that I'd...
Elizabeth!
I wouldn't exactly say you'd made a mistake, Elizabeth. Now, Heck's a pretty nice guy.
Well, thanks, Jim.
You can send me a check in the morning.
I suppose I have been fairly fortunate. But, of course, people aren't always that lucky when they marry beneath them.
I suppose not, but... When they what?
Elizabeth, we'd better go. It's getting late.
Wait a minute, Heck. What was that crack you made, Elizabeth?
Well, after all, my mother was a Stuyvesant. And I certainly have a right to...
In other words, you think Betty isn't good enough for your son?
I'm sure that isn't what Elizabeth meant, Jim.
But that's what she said. Well, isn't that what you said, Lizzie?
Don't you dare call me Lizzie.
Why not? If you can say my daughter isn't good enough for that puny excuse of a son, you...
Just a minute, Jim.
Writing poetry. What makes you think he's such a bargain?
My boy has a fine head on his shoulders.
What shoulders? And I've seen better heads on a small beer.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so.
This is what comes from slumming.
Slumming? Now, you listen to me, Elizabeth Smith. Your mother may have been a Stuyvesant, but my father spent half his life picking your father out of the gutter.
And he wasn't lying down because he was tired.
I think I'm going to faint.
Go ahead, dear.
Hector, I'm going to faint.
I'll catch you.
You ought to be ashamed of upsetting my mother with your vulgar insinuations.
Vulgar? Why, you little pipsqueak. If you were my son, I'd vulgar you so hard you wouldn't sit down for a week.
Fortunately, I'm not your son. Peasant!
Peasant!
Don't you dare call my father a peasant, Billy Smith! Don't you dare!
Well, that's what he is!
He is not!
He certainly is!
Well, I'd rather be a peasant than a pipsqueak!
Don't you call me a pipsqueak!
I will if I want to! Pipsqueak!
Peasant!
I never want to see you again as long as I live!
Well, you won't if I can help it!
You're just the nastiest creature I've ever met in my whole life!
I am not!
You are so!
I am not!
You are so!
Am not.
You are!
Hector?
Just a minute, dear. Say, Jim...
I'm sorry, I lost my temper, Heck.
That's all right. Say, Jim, that thing about picking Elizabeth's father out of the gutter, is that true?
Oh, sure it's true. Why?
Oh, boy. Wait till she pulls that Stuyvesant stuff on me again. Well, thanks for a lovely evening, folks. Come on, Lizzie.
Hector! Yes, dear?
And Billy.
Yes, Father.
Come on, pipsqueak.
The Andersons will be back in just a moment. Quite a family, the Andersons. And like every family, there's apt to be a family crisis now and then. But you know, it's amazing how it helps just to sit down and discuss things over a steaming good cup of Maxwell House coffee. And when you take that first heartwarming sip of Maxwell House, I know you're going to say it's the best doggone coffee you ever tasted. Now, maybe that's all you care about, and I wouldn't blame you much. But if you run the family budget, Here's something else you'll be glad to know. It's the value you get in every pound of Maxwell House. You see, cup for cup, our Maxwell House coffee costs just a fraction of a penny more than the lowest priced coffee sold. Now, when you can get so much more flavor and goodness for so little more per cup, you just know Maxwell House is today's coffee buy. So it makes good sense to ask your grocer for the best in coffee drinking pleasure. Ask him for Maxwell House coffee, always good to the last drop. Well, we started with breakfast, and we might as well finish the same way. Let's drop in at the Andersons at breakfast time the very next morning. The average children are still getting dressed. The average mother is racing around the kitchen. And the average father...
Jim, where are you going?
Gotta rush, dear. Can't stop for breakfast. Just time to catch the bus.
The bus? But I thought you said...
Never mind what I said. Just tell Bud if he gets one scratch on that car, I'll brain him.
Oh, all right, dear.
I'll be home at the usual time. Be a good girl.
I'll try, dear. Oh, Jim.
Yes?
Where did you leave the car keys?
The keys? Oh, they're on the dresser. On top of Kathy's $2.
Jim!
Now what's the matter?
Remind me to tell you, you're an angel.
I'm a dope.
You are not.
I've got witnesses.
Oh, well, why should I argue? After all, Father knows best.
In the cast you heard, Greg Porter as Jim, Rhea Lutton as Margaret, Beth Schlansky as Betty, Joy Jackson as Bud, Patrick McNally as Hector, Moki O'Reilly as Billy, Marge Lutton as Kathy and Elizabeth, and I'm Kim Turner, your announcer.
We'll be back in just a moment. We return to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hey, let's listen to a little bit from Kraft Music Hall.
The Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Marilyn Maxwell, the Music Maiden Man, Yuki, the Charioteers, and Bing's distinguished guest for this evening, from Paramount's For Whom the Bell Tolls, Katina Paxinou. And here is Bing Crosby.
I'm packing my grip, and I'm leaving today, 'cause I'm taking a trip California way. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sins, yes, Lord, I'll be making new friends where the West begins and the sunset ends. 'Cause I've decided where yours truly really ought to be, and it's the San Fernando Valley for me. I think that I'm safe in Satan. My tomato will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Reverend Thomas, he's the local shaman, said he'd make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail, care of RFD. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home.
I'm a packin' my grip, yes sir, and I'm leaving today, 'cause I'm taking a trip California way. I'm gonna settle down and never, never more to roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sins, yes sir, I'll be making new friends where the West begins and the sunset ends. 'Cause I've decided where your jewelry should be, and it's the San Fernando Valley for me.
I think that I'm safe in Satan. He will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Reverend Thomas,
made us a solemn promise that he's gonna make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail, Kalavarefi. I'm gonna settle down and nevermore roam and make the San Fernando Valley my home. And make the San Fernando Valley my home.
And make the San Fernando Valley my home.
Here's the Old Craft Music Hall, friends, traveling out over the two hemispheres to all our fighting men. And those at home can get into the fight, too. Not only by buying bonds, but by doing all those other things that are so essential to winning this war. Saving waste fat, turning in waste paper, donating regularly to your local blood bank. All these things are mighty important in backing up our fighters. Eh, Marilyn?
Oh, definitely, Bing. And speaking of fighters, are you still looking for someone to play the part of John L. Sullivan in the picture you're interested in?
MGM and never let you go, Max. But are you personally acquainted with any fighters?
Well, no, Bing. All the men I've met lately seem to be wrestlers.
Is that so?
Say, look no further, Bing. I got the man for the part.
Oh, you mean a man who's fast on his feet, punches with your hand, looks like an Adonis? Who is this phenomenon?
Well, he's your very best friend.
That's so.
A man of unlimited talent.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, feel my muscles.
Now listen, Shorts, this picture is going to be filled with terrific fight scenes.
Yeah? Look, if I get the part, what's going to be my toughest fight?
Getting your salary from my brother Everett. That will be a little difficult.
Well, if you really want a big man, why not John Scott Trotter?
I used to be in the ring, but I gave it up because my opponent kept hitting me and hitting me.
In the stomach?
Any place else is a clean miss.
Well, maybe you could play one of the fighters in the picture, Bing.
Oh, not me. I wouldn't be a fighter for anything in the world.
Oh, I just adore fighters. When I see a man in the ring, I just want to rush up and give him a great big kiss.
Hand me my gloves, I'll murder the bomber.
Well, what do you say, Bing? You gonna give me the part?
Yuki, my little man, you know I love you. From a safe distance, but I don't think I can give you the part. You see, this is the first movie I'll be making, and I just can't afford to take a chance.
Well, that's all right. It'll be the first movie I'll be making, and I just can't afford to take a chance either.
Sing along. Oh, but, Yuke, you don't fit in the picture. What Bing needs is a fighter. Personally, I don't think you can fight at all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it so happens I have a list of six guys right here in this room I can list. And I can lick.
You can, huh?
You know what? Can you read? I said, there's six guys here in this room I can lick, and you know what?
Yeah.
The carpenter, your name heads the list.
Oh, boy, you can lick me?
Yeah, put up your dukes.
Dr. Kildare, prepare for surgery.
Yeah, carpenter's going to need it. Here, take this.
Somebody pick Yuki up.
Yeah. So my name heads the list, then.
All right, so I'll cross your name off.
While Yuki revises his list together, here's Cole Porter's very beautiful new tune, I Love You. I love you, echo the hill. I love you, the golden dawn agrees, as once more she sees daffodils. It's spring again. Again, start to sing again that old melody. I love you, that's the song of songs, and it all belongs to you and me. Thank you.
body. I love you. That's the song of songs, and it all belongs to you and me.
Before turning to the charioteers and a jumpy little thing with a war message, here is another type of message.
You know, most women think it's fun to concoct lots of different salads, making tasty combinations of whatever vegetables and fruits are in season. But most women stick to one salad dressing, and in most homes, that's Miracle Whip. For the dressing makes the salad, and Miracle Whip is the salad dressing the whole family likes. In fact, millions prefer it because of its lively, different flavor. A just right flavor that comes from an exclusive recipe. Actually, Miracle Whip combines the qualities of old-fashioned boiled dressing and fine mayonnaise. And in addition to its delicious flavor, it's creamy smooth, thanks to Kraft's patented beater. So get a jar of Miracle Whip salad dressing tomorrow. Any salad tastes better with Miracle Whip. It's America's favorite.
Say, Jack. Do you know whose beat to his sock?
Who's that, man?
Nobody but me.
What's the matter, bub?
Been loading up a tanker all day long. Convoy's supposed to shove off soon.
You know one thing, bub? You really talk too much. Now, my advice to you is...
What's that?
This.
Shh. Don't talk too much. Don't know too much.
Dang.
Don't be too hip, cause the tip of the lip might sink a ship. Shh. Don't be too much. Don't jive too much,
boy.
Don't be too hip, cause the flip of the lip might sink a ship.
Now the
walls have ears and the night has eyes. So let's be wise and trick those nasty, nasty spies. Don't talk too much. Don't know too much,
boy.
Don't be too hip, cause the flip of the lip might sink a ship.
Slip of the lip might sink a ship. Never out, dipper lip, don't let nothing slip.
Now the walls have ears and the night has eyes. So let's be wise and trick those nasty, nasty spies. Don't talk too much. Don't know too much,
boy.
Don't be too hip, cause the flip of the lip might sink a ship. Don't talk too much. Don't know too much. Be like King Tut.
No, he won't talk, cause it's dead.
Keep your big mouth shut.
In her native Greece before the war, Katina Paksenou was her country's foremost actress. After surviving the London Blitz and a torpedoing in the North Atlantic, she proceeded to win immediate stardom in the Academy Award for her performance as Pilar, the March woman, in her first American picture, For Whom the Bell Tolls. It is our pleasure this evening to welcome this grand lady and fine artist, Miss Katina Paksenou. She really created quite a character as Pilar, the fortune teller.
Well, it was not too difficult, Bing. You see, I studied fortune-telling.
You dabbled in the occult in the Orient?
No, I read Bumps in Brooklyn.
You specialize in bump reading, Katina?
Yes, and I read cards, crystals, tea leaves, mines, and I am also a notary public.
Track odds paid, of course.
I like to read minds because to me all minds are different. They remind me of fine books and good radio programs. No two of them being alike.
That's very interesting. What program, for instance, would Marilyn Maxwell remind you
of? Oh, that's easy. Life can be beautiful.
And Yuki?
It pays to be ignorant.
What about me?
One man's family.
Remark,
remarkable, Christina. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. It's very simple, Bing. Do you know anything about the occult, the weird, the eerie?
I don't know anything about the eerie, but I got an uncle who's a caboose on the Santa Fe. But, Katina, I have an idea. Let's pitch a tent on the pier at Ocean Park. We could open a little palm parlor, you know, be partners, huh?
And you'd pay me $15 a week, huh?
That's right. How'd you know?
I'm reading your mind already.
Here she is, Madame Katina from Pasadena. She's got x-ray eyes, boys. Reads your mind right through your toupee. Have the madam tell your fortune in tea leaves. She does it in Technicolor.
How could she do that?
The lady uses orange pico. Come over. Hurry, hurry. Step right in and see the lady with the static in her attic. $1. $1 to meet an intelligent mind, 50 cents for the average mind, and 25 cents for a moronic mind.
How much for me?
Go right on in, brother. You can collect your money. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come over, come over. Don't crowd, folks. The madam will see you one at a time. Now, who wants to be first?
I am.
Step right this way, brother, in the tent. That's it, and here is the madam herself.
Welcome to the world of the supernatural.
Madam, maybe you can help me.
Well, you look like a businessman, and perhaps your trouble is that you don't understand personalities. You should learn to know men.
Oh, I know men.
Then what is your problem?
I want to know a few women.
Wrong problem. That'll cost you a dollar, please. Hurry, 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 hurry.
How do you do? How do you do? Are you all the lady who sees all?
Yes, but not all of you all.
Speak right up, bub. Lay a buck on the table and tell the madam what's on your mind.
Well, I had a very valuable diamond ring, and I'd like to know where it is.
Concentrate, madam. What happened to this young man's ring?
He lost it.
There you are, sir. Thank you very much. Next.
Hey, I'm back.
Well, young man, have you ever had your fortune told before?
Oh, yeah. A fortune teller once told me my face was my fortune.
Don't worry about it, son. Poverty is no disgrace.
Well, what type of a reading can I get?
Well, we're running a special today on hypnotism.
Yes, and it is quite difficult. For 10 minutes, I must stare into the face of the subject.
Well, how about hypnotizing me?
Let's change the subject.
Look, don't try to push me around. I'm the seventh son of a seventh son of a seventh son. Before I came along, everything in my family was in sevens.
Don't feel bad, son. After all those sevens, there's bound to be a snake eyes. Hurry, hurry. Come over, see you. Madam, here comes that beautiful, tall, blonde babe. Tell her she's going to fall in love with the next man she meets. You know what I mean?
No, don't worry, Swami. I'll take care of everything.
How do you do? Could you tell my fortune?
Yes, my pretty one. The crystal ball tells me you are about to fall in love.
How could she do that?
The lady uses orange pico. Come over, come over. Hurry, hurry. Step right in and see the lady with the static in her attic. $1. $1 to meet an intelligent mind, 50 cents for the average mind, and 25 cents for a moronic mind.
How much for me?
Go right on in, brother. You can collect your money. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come over, come over. Don't crowd, folks. The madam will see you one at a time. Now, who wants to be first?
I am.
Step right this way, brother, in the tent. That's it, and here is the madam herself.
Welcome to the world of the supernatural.
Madam, maybe you can help me.
Well, you look like a businessman, and perhaps your trouble is that you don't understand personalities. You should learn to know men.
Oh, I know men.
Then what is your problem?
I want to know a few women.
Problem. That'll cost you a dollar, please. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
How do you do? How do you do? Are you all the lady who sees all?
Yes, but not all of you all.
Speak right up, bub. Lay a buck on the table and tell the madam what's on your mind.
Well, I had a very valuable diamond ring, and I'd like to know where it is.
Concentrate, madam. What happened to this young man's ring?
He lost it.
There you are, sir. Thank you very much. Next.
Hey, I'm back.
Well, young man, have you ever had your fortune told before?
Oh, yeah. A fortune teller once told me my face was my fortune.
Don't worry about it, son. Poverty is no disgrace.
Well, what type of a reading can I get?
Well, we're running a special today on hypnotism.
Yes, and it is quite difficult. For 10 minutes, I must stare into the face of the subject.
Well, how about hypnotizing me?
Let's change the subject.
Look, don't try to push me around. I'm the seventh son of a seventh son of a seventh son. Before I came along, everything in my family was in sevens.
Don't feel bad, son. After all those sevens, there's bound to be a snake eyes. Hurry! Madam, here comes that beautiful, tall, blonde babe. Tell her she's going to fall in love with the next man she meets. You know what I mean?
Don't worry, Swami. I'll take care of everything.
How do you do? Could you tell my fortune?
Yes, my pretty one. The crystal ball tells me you are about to fall in love.
It's love, love, love.
He's very handsome and very generous. He will take you to all the best places. He will throw his money away on you.
Take it easy, take it easy.
Well, who is this wonderful man?
The crystal ball is cloudy. Wait, it's clearing up. I can see his face. He's a star of pictures and radio. He's very talented and clever.
Oh, thank you, Madam Katina. This is wonderful. I've always wanted to meet Bob Hope.
That's all for the customers, madam. How about giving me a reading until business picks up?
All right, Swami. For you, I will call on the spirit. Quiet now.
I won't say a word.
Oh, spirit, answer me. If you hear me, signal by rapping on the table. Oh, Reginald, are you there?
Spooky, ain't it?
Hemingway, are you there? Heathcliff, are you there? Heathcliff? Heathcliff, why don't you answer me?
I don't give a rap for nobody.
Hey, is there a message for me?
Wait. There's a message coming through for you.
Who's it from?
It's from one of your dead horses.
Hey, that's exciting. What does the message say?
It says, don't worry, Mr. Crosby. I will run next Saturday as usual.
Marches back. 1930, the London Naval Reduction Treaty was signed, and the last French soldiers of the Army of Occupation left the Rhineland. 1930, and thinking young men basking in the moonlight on the top decks of excursion boats with their best girls are saying,
what you holding my hand for, honey?
Oh, I don't know. I was just looking out at the water and wondering.
Wondering what?
What would happen if I leaned over the rail too far and fell in the water?
Well, I'd jump right in after you. I wouldn't even take off my clothes, and I'd have you right back on the boat.
Oh, gee, Harry, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it would be, except for one thing.
What's that?
Can't swim.
Gee, Harry, it's beautiful up here, isn't it?
Oh, sure is, and when you look at that moonlight, so bright you could read a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. It's so romantic. Just you and I up here, all alone.
Gee, Marilyn, I wish...
Yes, Harry?
I wish I had a newspaper.
Harry.
Mm?
Harry, would you like to sit in a deck chair?
Say, that's a good idea.
Should we sit in that double one together?
Oh, no. The single ones are more comfortable. Oh.
Boop, boop, be-doop.
What is that? Hold the phone. What is that boop boop a do?
Oh. Well, haven't you heard that new singer, Helen Kane?
No.
Well, that's the way she sings.
How's she go?
He's got boop boop be-do. I never cared for boop boop be-do.
Oh, no.
But he's got boop boop be-do. And that's my weakness now.
Can you
imagine anyone singing boo boo ba doop? That's silly, isn't it?
Sure is.
See, I can understand someone singing boo 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 boo. That's got some sense to it.
Say, Harry, have you heard that new song, Give Me Something to Remember You
By?
Oh,
yes, it sure is pretty, too. I know the words, do you?
Sure.
Oh, give me something to remember you by. When you are far away from me, dear.
Some little something saying love will not die. No matter where you chance to be.
Though I pray for you, night and day for you, it will see me through like a charm till you're returning.
Oh, give me something to remember you by.
When you
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Please check out our podcasts on our website, www.americanradiotheater.org. You know, we put up a new podcast every month. If you want to hang out with other folks playing old-time radio, it's radiooutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelsen Room. On Thursdays from 5:30 Pacific, that's 8:30 Eastern, and also on Saturday, 6 o'clock Pacific, that's 9 o'clock Eastern. Hope to see you soon!